Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Blog Talk Radio here on a beautiful Thursday night, October 19th, just a few weeks away from Halloween. You are on Sweet Discussions, hosted by A.P. Taylor, with All Poetry. We are inside of that is Team of Voices, which I am a part of. I'm a little discombobulated. I haven't actually been on the radio in a couple of weeks. I have some personal stuff going on, so I'm very happy that I am back. Tonight we are going to be talking about legends and monsters, so I hope you have brought me a legend and or a monster. Very happy. Let's see what else is going on. I'm thinking. Oh, the whole world might be going to shit, but at least we're here talking and having fun. So, hey, I guess that's about what's going on. We just heard My Monsters by Shinedown. The story of that is he wrote it about believing in the seven deadly sins, about all of the greed and ego and all of those wonderful things are real. So when we put them in personification, that people actually walk around with them. So, you know, monsters can be real to individual people if they overdo it in any other way. So I am excited to be here, hanging out on Blog Talk, hanging out with my people again. So I have all kinds of people in the studio already. So first off, I'm going to welcome Pretty Bird, my right-hand bird, my left-hand bird, too, because I only have one of them. Say hello, Pretty Bird. How are you tonight?
Hello. I am good. My eyes are bothering me, but I am thrilled to be here to talk about monsters, demons, hauntings, whatever.
Excellent. And then right behind her is always Raconteur, my favorite blind guide that leads me everywhere. Say hello to Rack.
Hello to Rack.
And then I have my favorite man that answers my questions, even though I have no idea what time it is. He may be sleeping, and I'll just text him, and he answers me back. So thank you for answering my question about Scotland today, AP Taylor.
Thank you very much. It was, for the record, 7:30 in the morning. Sweet.
Oh, goody. I'm glad I did not wake you up in the middle of the night. Good. I needed the answer. I appreciated it. And then we're going to welcome the maddest of men that I know, Mr. Hatter. Say hello, Mr. Hatter. Oh, no. Actually, that's Wayne. Hello, Wayne. I'm sorry. I said Hatter and it was Wayne.
Hello. How you doing?
Hello. I'm good. You are 270 and I am 720, so I should always remember that. I don't know why I don't. And then I believe right behind you is Miss Sky, one of my favorite people. I keep in my attic, and she is always a pleasant person to keep around because she giggles at just about everything. Hello, Sky.
Hello.
Although she's been throwing things at me lately, like I'm like, oh, like a crow mauler has given me nightmares, but I really love him. Just so that you know, I really, really love him. I mean, I'm going back to like 1540 when he's like a man, and now he's no longer a man because he was like the whore man of like hunger and something else. And so is it okay if I go back that far? Just asking you.
Because he cleaned. I'm so excited. Yeah. Just be creative.
Okay, because I've gone back way back in his clan because he used to be a really good guy. And he was cleaning the catacombs, and then he eventually became the darkness himself. So he's got quite the background. Anyway,
I feel like
it's whatever worked out. I know. So anyway, outside of what Sky and I are talking about, hello, what are we talking about? AP, how are you for the night?
I have to read and run because I have a technician coming out to see me, sweet. I have a very pleasant dialysis machine that is alarming all the bloody time, which is annoying.
Oh,
and so
exactly.
They're either going to fix it or replace it.
Okay. Well, then let's get your poem right up there on the board.
I can do that.
And we shall get you going with your monster or your legend.
Yes. It's a monster. It is. I'm going the monster. I'm going back to my Scottish roots.
I have something to tell you about this, too. So when you're done, we'll talk.
Oh, good. Good. Okay. Well, this is About the Lock. And it goes a little bit like this. About the bonny lake of the north confess, rune waters weeshed that do deeply mock. Find peely wally crab at a creature in nest, folk all around here, a fiat of this one block. scared of a long tail with its fearsome lash hiding from the streamlined head with teeth. As Nessie moves fast and boats then gash, when its presence felt deep underneath. For its sport will rip those inquirers asunder as it has plied these waters deep years now, owning these depths as if storms thunder length 20 metres from tail to prow. Still knows must stay away from the surface, passing those eyes of the prying and jaded inquirers left with legend's shadowed face. And grainy images, both dark and faded. End poem.
Well, as usual, it is a monster. You tell her story well. I'm quite excited about her. Or him, but she is a her because her name is you know, Izzy. I love that you present her with grace and elegance. You know, she's been around for so long. You know, she has to be here. Okay? For
yeah.
Its sport will rip those inquiries asunder. As it has piled these waters deep years now, owning these depths as if storms thunder, length 20 meters from tail to prow. I like that. I like how you said all of that. Because she's joyful, and, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So, very well done. I like how you present her. Pretty Bird, your thoughts.
Thank you.
I'm muted.
Oh, yes.
Birdie.
I wonder if she had to go away and deal with her dog. Go ahead, Rack, your thoughts.
Yeah, she's probably yelling at one of her kids. Oh, my God. I want to say I can sex a chicken, but I don't know how to sex a monster. So that is a she. But the story to tell, I love that. You know, the language helps to set the mood. And, you know, just when you say Scotland, you know, I hear that brogue, whether it's Irish or Scottish, I always mix it up and I can't, you know, I want to imitate it because I find it very hypnotic. And you know, that becomes a part of the story, even though, you know, the monster's not talking to you or anything. It does, you know, it fits the environment and the theme and it just adds to, and you know, and depth, you know, I love that idea too. The specific language that you use, you know, torn asunder and prow to prow, that's just so appropriate and descriptive and beautiful. It's not used that much anymore, and it needs to be, I think, dusted off a little bit because, you know, it can be very elegant, especially in the setting that you're talking about. And again, it fits the mood so perfectly. It was beautiful.
Lovely piece.
Thanks, Rhett. Thank you.
And Wayne, your description.
Well, you just scared everybody off.
I guess so.
I did.
Wayne.
Who'd you say? Me?
Wayne, you.
Yes, I'm here. I thought that this poem has great vocabulary in it. I thought it was in code there for a minute because I couldn't understand a lot of some of the words. Beautifully written and a very charming poem. Oh, Loch Ness would be proud of this poem. Beast is about 65 foot long, if my conversions are correct. It's a hell of a little monster you got going there. Great job, AP. Enjoy the poem.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Yeah, you got it right, Wayne. Absolutely. Thank you.
And Sky.
I thought this was an excellent poem. I mean, it does have my name in there, half my real name. So I was right in there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really cool, and I do love the language and the background you kind of bring to it. And how you speak of the second stanza with the teeth and the fearsome lash, and especially the seam-lined head. I don't know, I just really love that part. And then, of course, you know, still knows, must stay away from the surface passing his eyes. And I think that sometimes, you know, they, I like watching those videos, like, does the Megalodon still exist, like, down in depths we can't see it? I mean, I feel like a lot of our oceans aren't really explored, and I know this is a lake, not an ocean, but I like how it's like he's still out there, but he's avoiding you. That's why you can't see him. So I liked that twist on it. Really well done.
Thank you very much, Pop.
Now, Pretty Bird, are you out there yet?
I have been here the whole time. I lost my phone app because I don't call on my regular phone. And so, yes, I was talking to myself. My bad. And
okay.
So I love that dialectal Scottish that you put in here because it's all fabulous. And I haven't heard Peely Wally and who the heck knows how long. I've always loved that term. And and I just don't hear it enough, you know, not being from over there. And so I love that. And in my opinion, she's just playing with her food and playing around like the killer whales do with the seals. Just tossing them here, tossing them there, having herself a little fun because, you know, she's a playful little beast. You know, she's fabulous. I mean, for sport, you know, she's got to get her kicks off somewhere because how fun is that? And to me, she's always a woman. She's all, I don't care if it's the pictures. I don't care if it's drawing. She's all curvy and elegant and fabulous. And I think that this made me smile. So I loved it because, yeah, she's just over there, you know, not, you know, tormenting people, but just because she needs a little fun. It's like she's playing soccer. It's fine.
Thank you.
And everybody, welcome Deb. I don't know if she heard your poem.
Hello.
Hello. Did you happen to hear it?
I did not, but I did just finish reading it, and I was thinking, for one, you know, that infamous grainy image, that it was a cool way to end the poem there. But I really like that second stanza. There's something about the part, scared of a long tail with a fearsome lash, hiding from the streamlined head with teeth, sort of reminds me of someone. I thought it came out really close.
Oh, that is awesome. Now, I have a question. It's a bit of a controversy. Back in 2022, there was a little scientist that decided that the Loch Ness was nothing but a whale's penis.
Yes.
There's been a controversy going back and forth. I believe that it is not. I believe the pictures that they're showing against Nessie and all that, it's just hubbubaloo.
Yes. Yes.
What is your opinion on that?
Michigan.
Well, it is a decent size lake, number one. Yeah,
yes.
Number one. It is 20 odd mile long by about 2 mile wide and half a mile deep. And it's
in a whale to be proud of.
But it's not clear under the surface. It's got crazy Scottish crap that's floating in the water. It's murky. Yeah. So it's actually not easy to work out whether something's there or not. And they had about 400 people about a month ago who showed up to try and prove it was there or not. And they all believed that something worth looking at, and didn't find anything, but they tried. And my sort of view of that is they probably went up one way and it went down the other, and they went down the other way and it went up the other side. And there's plenty of places to hide in a lock that is that big and that deep and full of crap. So I actually think there's probably something to sweet, but that's just me.
Ah, really? I think there's something to her, too.
Yes.
So, that be said,
Your
poem was wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. And it's worth remembering that we only found the coelacanth about 30, 40 years ago, which is a huge fish. We all thought it was extinct in the dinosaur era, and then we found that it was real and alive and all that stuff. So I'm with you. I still think there's stuff out there that's alive but we don't quite know about yet. And
I do too.
I can go through the period and I can feel the plesiosaur can't.
The poem was real.
That's
the poem's
true.
Real. That's true. True enough. Yep. Okay. Well, I'm off to play with renal technicians.
Yes.
How exciting is that?
Well, have
Jesus
fun.
Anyway, that's my job in the afternoon. To get a machine that actually works, so that would be good. And have a great show, sweet.
Thank you.
Enjoyed.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful day.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. I actually am going to read mine, if you guys don't mind.
We insist.
Yeah, I know you guys do. Just because I want to get it out of the way, and I'm going to do it because I can, as we all know. And this is one of my favorite ones, the character. And because he just read about Scotland, I'm going to read about Scotland, and too bad he couldn't stay. But it is what it is. So here we go. If I can do more than one thing at once, which I've got to do tonight. All right. Hatter is on hold, so I will get Hatter in first. Hi, Hatter. I love you, Hatter. You know, you're probably on mute. Let me get over to Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk. My Blog Talk is all funky, too. I don't know what's going on. Unmuted. There you are. I have no idea what is going on with my Blog Talk. It's like really, really weird. It's like 15 sizes bigger than my screen, and I don't know why it does that. It's like one person fills up my whole screen. It's Sky, and then it's Deb, and I have to keep flipping through you guys. It's like, oh my gosh. All right. This is the Tosher's Deed. Hope you enjoy. A Tosher's Deed. Can't speak today either. The winds blow cold upon his house of cobblestone. Winter boxes, spring's dust of arrival. Sheep and cows grazing on sprouts of jade juvenile grass. The sun curtsied earlier each morn, and the cock crowed before his black coffee was brewed. The meadow started humming bluebird tunes. Six daughters, still grieving, stayed locked in the house. The death of their mother, his lover, his spouse, left him broken in his family farm without, in disarray. Folding his hands, he prayed, thanking his heavenly father for his provisions, his daughters, and for strength, whispering her requests to keep the landlord away. Watching from cliffs, he saw only the grave waves of a grief-stricken ocean, wishing for the last days of Indy's laughter. A shimmer crossed the sands and speeds of obscurity, hallucinations from our lack of food, he spoke internally. The apparition stopped and neighed. He giggled at his tomfoolery. Majestic in black, a mane rippled in hickory, eyes mahogany. A horse from bloodlines of majesties, he called for his daughters, look up, look upon the beauty of a Shastra's steed. From a quick whistle, the stallion galloped from the sea, bows down a bended knees. With kindest eyes, a father concedes to pleading pleas. He reaches for the creature's mane, quickly knowing a mistake was made. Death devoured his last hope. The warning came as daughters jumped onto their deadly fate. The true kelpie reared its monstrous head, taking life to their watery grave, listening to screams turned to gasping, gurgling grunts into silence. Six bloated daughters and one distraught father roam the hills of Scotland, riding a black horse looking for their mother. Don't offer any apples. End poem.
I just don't love it when you kill the children. I don't know why. But I do. I mean, this is sad. I mean, it's all mourning and death and whatnot. And in a way, you know, there's a little mercy in the killing, but then they're roaming the earth forever looking for the mother who was not killed by the horse. So she is not in the same place. So that is an eternity of searching and longing. And, you know, do not engage. I repeat, do not engage the beast. And and I loved it. I loved it. And, you know, you just read it with this elegance and this sweetness. And it's all, hey, look at the horse. Oops, my bad. And death and destruction. So it has been a while since you've killed the youngins. So I am loving this. So, Deb, what are your thoughts?
You can really do one heck of a bedtime story, sweet. I liked it. And I was also giggling because you have the early morning cock that crowed and they labeled your poem adult. Don't you love that?
Yes.
From a quick whistle, the stallion galloped the sea, bows down to bend the knees. With kindest eyes, a father concedes to six daughters, pleading, please. And they pleaded, but like not feeling like it did a lot of good for that pleading there. And at the end, what a vision. Six bloated daughters and one distraught father roams the hills of Scotland riding a black horse looking for their mother. Don't offer any apples. I shouldn't have been giggling, but I was. Just something about you and your voice mixed with darkness is just such a treat. You're a star.
Thank you.
And Raconteur, your thoughts?
You know, when you started off with calling his daughters provisions, I thought he was going to eat them. But, you know, it took a different twist. So you fooled me. I mean, I had an idea because, you know, I heard it was about the horse. So, but you still managed to trick me a little bit there because I didn't see that he was going to pay also. That was. quite a ride, you know. I'd never go on a carousel with you ever.
Aww.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, it turned sad quickly. Six bloated daughters has to be an undesirable sight. Won't be no apples coming from my basket. This is a wonderful poem of family destruction. Great job reading it. I was caught off guard with all the gasping, gurgling, grunting, and it turned into silence. That kind of caught me off guard, and I wouldn't expect that at all. So you stuck up on me on this one. Great job with the poem, and it's an interesting poem. Good job.
Thank you.
Who knew the family destruction to be so delightful? And Hatter, what are your thoughts?
I'm doing some catch-up here. What's a Chasseur's steed?
Chasseur is a top hunter in London, like top bird hunters. They ride top horses. It's very well bloodlined horse, and so
okay.
And I'm sure I'm not even saying the word right, but they are top hunters. They're hunting horses.
And it's a killer?
No. The Kelpie, the Scottish Kelpie. Is the monster, and it appears as a horse, a beautiful horse or a cute pony, and once you're on that horse, it takes you into the ocean or water or lake to kill you, to drown you. So the Kelpie is actually the monster, and once you grab hold of the horse, it appears as a beautiful horse, but it's actually a monster that will drown you. They call it the water horse or the Kelpie or whatever. So they see the beautiful horse, and as soon as they touch it, it starts to kill them.
Oh, like the siren.
Like the puka.
That's New York. bloated bodies.
And there's a link in my author's notes that you can click on and learn all about the Kelpie. Because they
okay.
can also take the form of a man or a dog or anything like that.
Not the dog.
Yeah, they are also known to take on the personification of a dog. They're shift shapers. I can't say it. Shape. See, I should not have put those two words together either. I'm stumbling tonight with my tongue.
They're changeling.
Yes.
Okay. Here's some ketchup.
And Sky. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay, well, Sky, your thoughts.
Yeah, I love the piece, and I don't know. I think it's because I'm a water baby. I just really love stories, and I don't know why. I have a thing for horses, too. So, you know, these types of, yeah. Like, especially tales with, like, water, like the Kelpie, I really, really enjoy. I mean, that's why my favorite. Anybody who says, what's your favorite animal? I always say hippocampus. They're like, that's a part of your brain. I said, no, it's a mythical creature. And they're like, that's not a real animal. And I say, I don't care. So, you know, and so I'm always prone. I'm always being lured to water-based creatures and myths and lore and things like this. So I love that you chose the Kelpie. And I also do, I tend to kind of draw myself towards shape shifting as well. So just the whole piece, I really loved how you brought it out. I like how in the beginning of your piece, you speak of more of the people and you start to say, like, what's kind of going on here? And then you go into the details, you know, folding his hands and pray thankfully to Heaven's Father for provisions, his daughters, and for his strength. So you set this up where, you know, there's this wonderful, beautiful connection, and then you kind of dismantle it by the end, which I thought was well done. I also like how you put giggle in there and tomfoolery. I thought that was pretty fun with the language. And then it got pretty dark at the end, and I love you didn't shy away from that. So really well done and great storytelling.
Thank you.
All right.
Sky, I know that it's bedtime around your world, so why don't you go ahead and put yours up, and then we will do Deb, because, Deb, you're probably on your timeline too, correct?
Sounds perfect to me.
Okay.
Okay. It's just going to take me a minute to put mine up. I'm left-handed only right now. So,
okay.
Yeah, it got worse, Rack.
I got you.
Thank you. I can't even grip or type, by the way. So this is a while ago, and I took bits of the real story and then put bits of my own take on it. So this is called, and it's from 2015, but it's called The Vodnik. Once was a maiden that lived near Phantom Lake, who only gathered her chattels in moonlight wake. Tucked in woods, her cottage shadowed a little town, but sadly she was barren as the cold winter's ground. One eve, a peddler who dared to enter her forest grim told her of the secret and a darker potion given to him. He promised she could have a child upon one request, that he'd be invited into her barren cottage as her guest. The maiden, desperate, the maiden sold every such value she held, took the dark and weary traveler to where she dwelled. 9 months had passed since the bargain was made, and there in twilight shawl a small creature now lay. But the now mad maiden was frightened by his form, and thus the changing child, who'd never be warm, was banished to live by the mercy of Phantom Lake, to grow solemn, only appearing in moonlight wake. He became spiteful of what was cruelty denied to him, and when of a certain age crept out of the forest grim, he began to steal the souls, laying in children's one by one, taking them back without a streak of red. For he left them to live soulless and without empathy, so that as each of them grew, they have not dignity. And as darkness ravaged the once quaint little town, all the mad maiden could do was watch and weep and pump. And yes, I did drop the rhyme at the last minute. Hello?
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm like dumbfounded. I'm like, wow, that's really good. Yeah, I guess I'm the one that should be talking now, huh? This is amazing. I mean, it's like a lesson within a lesson within a lesson. Like, you know, what would you give up for the most wonderful thing you wanted? And then what do you do when you have the most wonderful thing? And what happens when you turn your back because your wish was so granted and you're afraid of that wish? What would you do? And then what are the consequences upon, you know, others when you don't take care of that wish? This is crazy good. And I'm just thinking it's unraveling in my brain because, you know, what if I got what I wanted? And then I decided, wait, that's not what I wanted. That's too much responsibility. I can't deal with that. And then that goes and does something horrible. And then I just watch it and I cry because I was supposed to hold on to that. That was granted to me and I just let it go to hell. There's so many lessons here. And of course it's done so eloquently because it's a sky story. And to be honest with you, you're like, oh, I dropped the rhyme. Okay, whatever, who cares? I certainly don't, of all things, because I'm enthralled in the story. The story is so brilliant. And I still don't understand what was wrong with the child or the baby, because a baby's a baby. And
I beg to differ.
It's brilliant. Oh, hush up, Aunt. I've been there. I wrote you a poem before it even happened. This was just, you know, I don't even know if you wrote it to teach a lesson in or to have the lessons in it, but it does. So it's really brilliant. There you go. Okay, Pretty Bird,
thank you.
Your thoughts.
I am fighting my tongue as it is not the proper day of the week to mention this Bodnick's outfit, so I'll just leave it at that. But I am loving this because what do you do with a child that is less than perfect, not what you expected, a veritable monster in the eyes of your soul? And have we learned nothing from the Penguin and Batman? I mean, you know, abandoned little children do bad things. And so, you know, this is very much that lack of nurturing, that F me, F you kind of thing. Well, if I was not going to be loved and nurtured, I'm going to make you unlovable as well. And it's heartbreaking because that is a reactionary response. That was not something this poor creature was, you know, he may not have been born into that. It's a response to how he was treated and isolated and shunned. And then, you know, crazy mom is watching this whole thing. Like, you know, going even more crazy because it's all her fault because, you know, how dare you not love the fruit of your own loins? And but I love Sweetie's take on that, you know, that, you know, what you know, if I do wrong by the gifts I'm given. And that is really, like, laying in my brain. So that might actually inspire me to do something that I haven't been inspired to do in a while, which is right, not anything nefarious. But I do, I love this. There's a very nurturing tone to this. It's not so much a beware the Ides of March kind of feeling. It is very much a, you know, don't be a douche kind of feeling. And I appreciate that. You know, those are the vibes it's given me. I'm just saying.
Thank you for the words.
You're very welcome.
And Deb, your thoughts?
Well, as far as poetically, those couplets are really
fantastic, and I'm digging the rhyme there. But oh my word, talk about some creepy stuff, the making deals with peddlers, and where was that part? Oh man. 9 months had passed since the bargain was made, and therein Twilight Shaw, a small creature now laid. Got me thinking of Rosemary's Baby there for a minute. And I like how you went into how they're banished by the mercy of Phantom Lake to grow solemn, only appearing in moonlight's wake. Just the details and the creepy factor and that picture, I mean, it's like the total package of creepiness. I think you did an awesome job with it, Sky. Damn.
Thank you, Deb.
And Wayne.
Yes, I said, oh, no, another child molester point. This is cool. She should have not taken the lad home for sexual activity. Nothing worse than an ugly baby. But personally, I never saw an ugly baby. Took the baby's dignity without and left him without a soul. I have empathy for him. This is an interesting poem. Mutilated babies are my favorite. Great rhyme. I'm impressed with the rhyming you did in this, and good read. Good job there, Sky.
Thank you, Wayne.
And Rackentor, your thoughts?
I enjoyed this a lot, Sky. You know, the initial thought of careful what you wish for comes to mind. I think that's kind of almost a gimme because the consequences of you know, what you do with what you wish for, I think, is, you know, like everyone wants to put a lesson to it. Well, if you're going to put a lesson to it, well, that you kind of reap what you sow, you know. You did it to yourself in a sense. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it's got a lot of conflicting feelings in it in that regard too, because you know you're alone and you want to have this baby, or you're nurturing, or you want it to nurture something, and you have to compromise yourself to do it. So there's that you know, in my head I'm attaching the guilt of you know, what you had to do, what you had to give up to have, you know, to get this wish and everything, and then trying to deal with that as well as trying to deal with the end result in front of you and everything. And then now you're responsible for this life. There's a lot going on in this, and you know, emotional, very emotional piece. And it just tears you up in 12 different ways.
Thank you, Rack.
Yeah. All right, Hatter, your thoughts.
So a vodnik is a giver of wishes, or somebody that
no, it's just a creature, and the lore. I'm trying to remember way back then, but I believe the only thing that I took from the lore was that it was a creature that lived in the woods, and it was it would come out and take the souls of children. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I built the rest. The rest was like, I just made up that name of the lake and why he did it. Like, I just made that part up, I'm pretty sure. So yeah.
Like, okay. there was one part that I thought was really good. One evil peddler who dared to enter her forest grim told her the secrets of the darker potion given to him. I like that flow. That rhyme flow.
Considering the subject, flow is appropriate.
Ah, you're funny. Deb, are you? Did I get everybody? I hope.
Yes.
Okay, Deb, you are on the board.
Okay, dokey. Brought you a bedtime story.
Yay.
Okay, this is called Demon Doused My Halloween Spirit with Blood. Here we go. Samhain ghosts plague the neighborhood, hovering over sidewalks and fog-filled shadows, salivating at all the children walking in masks. and ghosts sniff for animals as mist overflows, staining the hillside with thick crimson dew. The dew is ghost blood, and the ooze glows. From that glow, voices of the sacrificed dead rise. Then on the window glass, the demon knocks. Inside my hazel green eyes, squeezed too tight, the cuckoo clock in my brain ticks and talks, tapping to the rhythm, marking the countdown, with my head riding the cold chopping block. Corpses dangle from cypress trees on meat hooks, circled by big black buzzards and vultures, braided hemp twine fray, and the metallic aroma of death stirs, beasts that line up to pick bloody carcasses. They are all Hollow Eve chauffeurs. Those creatures chew me up and spit me out as the dark demons wail, leaving me weep, triggered by the bone crunches and snaps. But as the shadowed nightmares haunt sleep, from the evil campaigning to break me, credence for the rosary beads tattered, platinum light and sinking into quicksand. Once all the constructed walls shattered, ebony grows, and no one colors me rainbows or reaches out to me and tells me I mattered. And boom.
Wow. That is one dark piece. And I got to tell you, I love it. I got to tell you, between hanging demons and bodies and corkscrews and, you know, meat hooks and all of that. But the last two lines are the scariest possible things that, you know, people feel. Ebony grows and no one colors me rainbows or reaches out to me and tells me I matter. I think that's the true emphasis of horror. When you're alone, you're by yourself, and it just, nobody's there to tell you you matter. I had somebody tell me I matter today, and it changed my whole perspective for a lot of things, and I needed it, and it was something that meant the world to me, because that is the scariest place to be when you're in a place where you think nobody thinks you matter. I think that's the scariest place to be. In your head, I know we always get there sometimes, but that's the scary thing. Bone crushing and shadows and nightmares. But that one line sums it all up. Because that's the real of it. And that's the power of it. I mean, that was brilliant. And another line I like was big black buzzards and vultures threads from the braided hemp twine fray. I like that. Very good. Very, very good. Raconteur, your thoughts.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, your visuals kind of make me glad I can't see. so the things that you're coming across are very, you know, very much, you know, in your mind and scary and you know, but easy to jump off the page visually. So combined with the emotion that you describe of you know, feeling like you don't matter, it almost kind of offers an explanation as to why some, you know, crazy people do what they do. You know, it's like, you know, they're trying to satisfy that feeling and fill that void. You kind of you channeled something, let me tell you. That was quite a piece. Blood dew and everything else was just, yeah. You got a scary thing going on in your head, girl.
Yeah, it's a Celtic legend tied to Halloween and the end of harvest. So probably something that the children of the corn use. Just saying. Thank you.
Yeah, Wayne, your thoughts.
Well, this is gruesome, and the only way it could be worse is if it ended saying, "It tells me I am Jay Hatter," instead of "Matter." So that's the only way it could be worse. I like when you said those creatures that chew me up and spit me out. You definitely went dark on this one. I love it. It's great dark poem, and you're catching on to dark poetry really well. Good job, there, Deb.
Thank you, Wayne. And Sky left. Hatter, your thoughts?
So Samhain was the origin of Halloween. Is that right?
Samhain.
And it was sacrifices that were done. The kids at trick-or-treating were just easy prey.
You know, some of the old pictures of Halloween from back in the day when the photography was first started, it's pretty creepy. Kids made their own costumes, and they wore gourds over their on their heads. And pardon my... Yeah, this is very good. Oh, this is I've commented. Well, along with you being so good looking, taking care of my back, you can really darken the place up. Nice job, Deb.
Thank you.
That's awesome. All right. Let me see. Deb,
what is Grimm? Is Grimm English? Grimm Brothers? Is that English lore or? Is that Scottish, too?
Grimm's Fairy Tales.
Yeah.
I believe they were English.
So, okay.
I don't know.
So basically, don't go by the water. Don't go down the woods. Don't go by the water. Don't go by the lake.
Yeah. Don't do anything. All right. Pretty good.
Everybody doing that.
They were German. The Grimm brothers were German.
Oh, German? Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yes.
German.
Did you say my thoughts?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I am the end of that first stanza with the glowing ooze that has the voices of the sacrifice. I kind of really dug that a whole heck of a lot because how creepy is that and fabulous. And but the whole first, like, two-thirds of this, you're all up in the descriptions, and then towards the end when you flip that to first person, it kind of catches you off guard and puts you on the opposite side of everything you just said, which I thought was a really neat thing because, you know, as a reader, we're looking at it like this is a scene laid out before us, and all of a sudden we're looking through the eyes on the other side of that window in the bloody mess of now they're eating me, and I just thought that was awesome. And those last two lines for me, sweet, are heartbreaking. It's after all this, and however long or short the life of the sacrifice was, it's a lonely, heartbreaking thing. And you've got all the butts, you've got all the gore, you've got all the demons, you've got the meat hooks and the gored up people being eaten by the vermin. And in the middle of all that, you've got like this pensive, contemplative moment of, you know, did I make mark? Did I even matter? Will anybody even notice? And I thought that was a very interesting way to end the poem because it kind of, is it creepy? Yes, but it kind of quiets the gore for me and it lingers in a very introspective way, which was unexpected. And I personally love unexpected things because when you don't see it coming, that's when it's good. So that is awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay, I am going to keep you around for a minute. I think, yeah. Again, my computer is like on crack. And give you... okay, where are we? Give you Heavenly Angel to read and get her on the board.
I got it.
Wait, I think I got it. Maybe not. Yeah, I did. Ooh, never mind. I did.
Yay.
It's okay, it's on the board.
All right, there you go.
Okay. This is called The Legend of Barnabas the Vampire by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. Deep in the dark woods, legend is told. Legend is told lives the ancient vampire, Barnabas, say 500 years old. He's known to have added many to his nightly feast. He's a ruthless night prowler, a demonic beast. Barnabas hungers and thirsts for soul, made a night stalker when he was 20 years old. The devil himself is his master now, controlling these actions of this being so foul. He hunts, he stalks, searching for prey, roaming the night, sleeping by day. Evil intentions in his twisted mind, hoping an innocent victim he will find. Souls will be added to his demonic hell. Satan himself will be pleased, says he's done quite well. He will drink the life flow from every vein. Trying to escape will be in vain. Beware as you walk this path. You may encounter Barnabas' wrath. May God have mercy on your soul, should you come under his vampiric control. End poem.
I love this. I think it's fun. It's dark. And I'm sorry, if I think of Barnabas the Vampire, I think of Barnabas on Dark Shadows. And
Dark Shadows.
He's one of my, yeah.
Me too.
He was one of my favorite vampires ever. My mom used to watch it. It was the greatest soap opera ever. I just, beautifully done, Heavenly Angel. You read this last October in 2022. I loved it then. I love it now. It's just perfect. It is. It's just perfect. I really love this. Deb, you read it. What are your thoughts?
You know, I we often speak about her as the Hallmark poet, but I like when she dabbles in the darkness. And obviously, I'm not the only one, because one, two, three, but she's got 5 awards from this, ranging from gold down to HMs, and like 5 awards. It's got a fun, creepy feel. And like you, I also thought of Barnabas Collins, which it could kind of, you know, work with him, because he is out there stalking. And I like the resistance, his futile feel of it. He's going to get you. Like, I remember as a child, I would put the blanket up to my neck thinking that that would do any good if you know, vampires came in the room while I was trying to sleep. But, you know, you forget about the fact that they'll just, what do they call that, romance you into to just moving that blanket and holding your neck out for them. So resistance really is futile. So I like her approach, and I thought it was a fun one, and it's always an honor to be her reader.
Yes. Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, I said, excellent poem, dark and smooth. Has great rhyme and perfect flow, and may God have mercy on your soul. I think it's very, very good. I wish you said that at the very end of it. This is a very poetic and take on vampires, and I think it was a television show. It was Dark Shadows. It is a television show because it's part of the Dark Shadows movie or show. Yep, so it's a very, very excellent job of talking about Barnabas. Good job.
Absolutely. And let's see. Who else have I got? Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, another taker of souls. Our angel goes dark. This is well done. This is the first dark type of write I've seen her do. And Dark Shadows, I had to fold my newspapers after school with it on TV. It was the worst. It was so bad, it was good.
Yes, exactly. All right. And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
She can kind of write everything. I mean, she has her comfort zone, but she does darkness. She does sensual. And when she kind of skirts her comfort zone, I think that those are my favorite pieces by her, this included. I have a soft spot for vampires. They are my absolute favorite of all monsters because they're all, you know, Prince Charming. And that is just something that will never unlock itself in my brain. And so I kind of love them for that. It's probably why I don't trust people, but whatever. And so I love the darkness in it. I love the way she rhymes and it flows and it's just all the shadows. And I kind of really like that the emphasis is more on souls than the blood sucking because, you know, that's how they get you. You know, a whole lot of lose yourself in my eyes. And then, you know, with the bonus tapping of the veins. And so I kind of love that. There's an allure to that. It's less graphically grotesque and a lot more romantic, you know, which is probably why I like the vampires.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay, Wayne, I'm going to have you up here. You're on the board,
right.
And I'm going to get you. Yeah, I'm going to get you in the studio here in a second. So right. If everybody's got it, I'm going to play you, Wayne.
Cool beans.
The Touch, written and
read. That's not you.
By Gerald
that's
Green.
That's not you. This is you.
This is called Harbinger Doesn't Scare Me. Harbinger came calling, warning my soul. I stood up, told Harbinger I ain't letting go. He raised his hand. Clouds roared with thunder. I gave him the finger. Harbinger started to wonder. I yelled, I have places to go and people to see. Turn your speed around and let me be. Harbinger took a big breath, then cracked a smile. Said, you're not very smart, but I like your style. I will give you 2 hours before I take you away, and I don't give a damn what you have to say. I didn't like it much, but I was glad to hear. I shrugged my shoulders and went for a beer. Harbinger disappeared. Didn't know where he went. After 3 beers, the first hour was spent. Having a little buzz, I started to get brave. But this little voice was saying, I better behave. Wasn't long till I saw him ride up over the hill. Hope you don't take my soul against my will. Harbinger's not a bad spirit, following a command. But I didn't care. I was going to take a stand. Harbinger rode up with black diamonds for eyes. I walked out to meet him, to his surprise. Stuck out his hand. I could tell I was about ready to die. Well, he took my soul, but I gave it a good try. Ian?
Nice. I hope he doesn't steal my soul. I like that. But this little voice was saying, I better behave. I liked after having a little buzz, you're not afraid of anything. I think that's great.
Beer muscles.
That's right. I can do anything. I'm not afraid. I shrugged my shoulders and I went for a beer. Screw you.
I'm a bad man.
I will give you 2 hours before I take you away. And I don't give a damn what you have to say. I didn't like it much, but was glad to hear. I shrugged my shoulders and went for a beer. That's the attitude we should all have. I yelled, I have places to go and people to see. Turn your steed around, just let me be. You're not very smart. I love this whole thing. You're lucky I was kind of, I pressed mute, otherwise I would have been giggling and giggling and giggling. Because this is an attitude I think we should all take. Not that most of us can, but this is the attitude I want to embrace. Oh. Hatter, your thoughts.
Right.
Yeah, you just reminded me of that picture of that mouse standing up with his flipping this owl off whose talons are swooping down to get him. He's just flipping him off.
Right.
Yeah, you guys mentioned the fear of There's something different about being with somebody else and being scared and being alone and being scared. We've all hit on that. You'll have to meet the demon, to his surprise. I see dead.
And Raconteur, your thoughts?
And Wayne's going out on his terms. His plan was to run up a tab so that if death did come for him, the bartender wouldn't let him go until he paid up.
That's right.
That was a clever piece, Wayne.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
Okay, so you're just feisty on all counts, Mr. Wayne, and how fabulous is that? I mean, the Harbinger waves his hands, there's thunder in the sky, and you give him the finger like, yeah, and? I'm like, just completely unimpressed. Go about the business. I've got plans for today. I don't have time for your crap. And I absolutely love that. And for all the places to go, people to see, you say F it anyway and go have a beer or two or three. And I'm just saying, oh, if I'm going to die, I don't give a crap about the crap I have to do. I'm going to do this instead. And I love that. I love how, you know, you try to get out of it. You know, you put up a good fight. Yeah, it's fine. He had a job to do. I love that. That's it's just so you.
It's me.
It's awesome.
It is.
Pretty Bird is killing me. You can't read for me tonight. Raconteur, your thoughts?
Again?
Again? Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Never mind.
The devil walked up to Wayne and said, you're coming with me. And Wayne said, I ain't afraid of you. I've been married to your wife for 30 years.
Oh, good Lord. That's wrong. All right. I got everybody. I'm not missing anybody. We're good. Okay. Here we go. I got to read Lockdown Lars. All right. Here I am.
Apparently you can play green, too.
Sally in the Woods by Lockdown Lars. Long ago, 'twas Colin, Colonel, or is that Colin?
Colonel.
Brown's Folly. It is Colonel. Okay, I wasn't wrong. Long ago, 'twas Colonel Brown's folly to build a tower in a wood, just for employment and to be jolly. Had he known, surely he never would. The folly still stands with no penance, yet gypsy girl Sally was locked in there, imprisoned without sustenance, left to die without any care. No bird's nest now in this woodland, flying by with no song, it seems. Many see Sally's ghost firsthand and hear her piercing screams. A road winds through this wood now. The darkness chills you to the bone. A fatal car crash is not known how, but it is said Sally is no longer alone. Ooh, that's creepy. That's very creepy. Just so you know, that's very creepy. Ooh, creepy, creepy. But I like it. I like it a lot, but it's very creepy. And at the bottom it says, the car accidents are factual. That's even more creepy, creepy.
This is why you need chauffeurs in valets.
What are your thoughts, Pretty Bird?
You know, it's like the world does not understand that women can be giant bees. I'm just saying. I mean, for all we know, the girl did it to herself, because it doesn't say that the colonel locked her in there. She just found herself in there locked, you know, so left to die with no way out, because apparently there's no windows in this thing. And so, because that's how you build a room, you know, in the woods, but that's fine. And so she's in this tower, and she's locked in there, and no Rapunzel has hair to let down, and she dies, you know, of starvation and whatnot. And she's like, well, if I'm dying, y'all are dying with me. So now in, you know, 100 years in the future, when cars go by, oh, look, hi, friend, how you doing? And it sounds to me like they crash by themselves into nothing, you know? Like, no, you are mine. You are within my personal space, and you are no longer safe. So thank you. Thank you for joining me. And I love that. I love that this is on a local myth to this town in England. So it makes you wonder, you know? People don't travel down that road if they don't have to. So I love that. I do. And it's interesting, like, to know when, like, I need to look that up to find when the myth was the myth before the automobile or after the accident? You know what I mean? Because did it happen to carriages when they would ride by the forest? You know, because that would be an interesting thing to know. Now I have to look that up. So creepy, yes. But listen, don't mess with the gypsies. Okay, y'all should know better. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Rack, your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, when you're traveling and, you know, you're getting around, the outside influences, you know, you swear, you know, I took every precaution. I looked this and I took, I was safe that. And then next thing you know, you're ass over tea kettle. You know, there's really like, everyone kind of says the same thing. It's like, I don't know how it happened. You know, one minute I was down the road and then the next thing you know, it's wrapped around a tree. You know, having been in a car accident, I kind of can say the same thing. So it's like, you know, I can relate. I think I might have dated that girl.
Yeah.
Spooky.
Wayne, your thoughts?
So Sally went out and got her some company. And that's pretty good. I like the part where it says no bird nest now in this woodland flying by with those songs, it seems. It has to be hard if a bird won't even sing when it flies by. And so and this may be a true story, according to his AN. So I'm not going to UK no time soon. That's a great right there, Lars.
And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, these tales always start with like a lady in white seen on the sticks along the highway, you know. And victims after that just become legend. I think that's what he said, man. Oh, Sally. 8 fatal car crashes.
How did you bring me a poem?
Yes. I got a...
Okay.
I got
right,
a short
I'm gonna
one.
Play. That's okay. Well, I'm going to play Phil, and then I'm going to want your poem, okay? Phil
Thanks.
On the board. So everybody listen to Phil.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called The Banshee. The Banshee wails, oh wail my beauty, shake the foundations with your lamentable song. Let your call reverberate up the castle walls, crying out a melancholic tune for the dead. You materialize, leaving a lasting memory on the beholder. Your scream becomes deafening when your specter arrives. An eternal moaning floating upon your blue cold lips, and yet your beauty captivates a young poor soul. There you stand, my pale-skinned beauty, with crimson tears upon your long-flowing ghostly dress. A seductive smile sparkles in the darkness of the night. Before your beauty fades, your face drained of all life. Howl at the moon, my little vixen, tell her your sorrows, make her weep with your cursed life on earth. Drown all the stars with the mist of your tears. Let the moon melt and turn into blood. Creeping through a deserted graveyard, searching, longing to devour a stranger, longing for the touch of human flesh, singing morbid love songs to the dead. I see you now in full skeletal splendor, white as a ghost with an evil screech upon your lips, the wind bidding your command with obedience as your loathsome cry fills the Irish skies. A lonely figure with death-white shining eyes lurks from the shadow of an aged oak. Her only companion in this lonely world, the only one who will ever listen to her song and poem.
Oh my God, I am stunned that he made the Banshee, one of the literally ugliest, hideous, most vile creatures of the Irish lore, into this graceful, beautiful figurine of, like, almost ivory and porcelain of devilish, you know, she's now something to be held, and you feel for her, and you want to hold her and tell her everything's going to be all right. I don't know how you did that, Phil. I really don't. But I am now, you know, you stand, there you stand, my pale-skinned beauty, with crimson tears upon your long, flowing, ghostly dress. A seductive smile sparkles in the darkness of night. Before your beauty fades, your face drained of all life. Howl at the moon, my little vixen. Tell her your sorrows. Make her weep with you, cursed life on earth. Drown all the stars with the mist of your tears. Let the moon melt and turn into blood. Oh, a romanticism of the Banshee is something that is new to me, and you did it. Give yourself a thousand stars. This is beautiful. Oh, my goodness, I love, love, love this. Petite bird, tell me how you must too love Phil the poet right this moment.
Oh, but I do. I do. This is a poetic reimagining. This is Banshee, a love story. I kind of love that he is like all, you know, goo-goo eyes over this, you know, creature. And she screams to let you know that one of your family members are dying. But she's so beautiful. Take who you want. Just let me watch you float there as you transform from this fleshy beauty with these lips to this skeletal, emaciated, death-consumed creature. And I love you even more for showing me your true self. This is, you know what? There is a beauty in the fact that it doesn't matter what you look like, fat, skinny, healthy, sick, alive, or dead, screaming or quiet, you too can find love.
Ah, beautiful. Rack your thoughts.
Isn't it?
Yes.
See, you could tell this is a tale written by a man, because the man is going to have a woman screaming at him, and his conclusion is going to be, yeah, she wants me. So, you know.
OMG.
I know, seriously, though. I love the legend, and I love that you took the her continence into account in telling of the story, and you made her very sympathetic, and it was wonderful. You know, the idea of the screaming and the apparition and it being the wind is just very haunting to begin with, and attaching that to the idea of you know, it's announcing the death of a loved one. You did a wonderful job with it. You really did.
And how are your thoughts?
Yeah, Phil the poet. I envision him just writing this down, no editing, and it seems to just flow out of him. I'm probably wrong, but this is it's so well done. It seems effortless. There's one line in here that I have to read. The howl at the moon, my little vixen, tell her your sorrows. Oh, no. The moon is female, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I personally like signs who's a male god, but yes, mostly female.
We'll have to kick the man in the moon out then, right?
The man is in the moon, so let's hopefully the moon is female. Because if the man was in the man, you know, that's all preferential. You can be what you want to be.
So the face on the moon is just a female going, ooh.
Oh, my, we're not getting into this argument. Oh, my God, we've done this before. I'm having deja vu.
Oh, that was years ago.
No.
Years ago.
No, we're not doing this. This is a beautiful poem, and we love it.
It is.
getting into the Greeks and the Latins and the mythologies. It's just a poem. We're not doing that.
Okay.
Well, according to Chaucer, the man in the moon has a beard. So
hush.
There's that.
Hush. We're not doing that.
Oh,
we're not
my
doing
Lord.
That. We're not doing that tonight. How to read your poem. I love you.
I would like to add one thing to the poem. And that is,
yes.
Since the person who hears the wailing of the banshee is usually the one who dies, I'm assuming that he then, in love with that voice of hers, is the lonely figure keeping her company at the end, yes?
Yes.
That is just fabulous. Fabulous, fabulous.
I didn't comment.
Wayne, I'm sorry.
Please do.
Yes, please comment.
Like, it's my show. I'm sorry.
If the moon was a woman, the man in the moon would move out.
Do you have a comment on the poem?
You got the woman in the divorce.
I think Phil has met the banshee. She's such a lovely creature. I can listen to her scream all night. He must have done a little research on this poem because he hit all the points of the fantasy. So he did a great job this poem, as he always does. He's a great poet.
I am so tickled. I'm just going to sit here quiet.
I love you all. Hattery, your poem is up, my darling.
Okay. Childhood fears. I remember writing this a long time ago, and there were boundaries from this, and I don't remember what they were. Had to be short, I think. Called Childhood Fears. And there used to be a cool picture of a leprechaun right there. I left in my youth a nightmare of fright, a childhood fear that went bump in the night. When fear of the tale came back to me while telling the story to my daughter of three, I thought he'd left many years gone, now gone, that childhood killing leprechaun.
I like this. That's awesome. I'm glad you told that to your child of three. Let's not wait till they're five, but three's a good age. He left many years gone now. I thought. I'm not sure, but hey, that child was
leprechaun.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, I see that.
Oh.
I see the comments.
The leprechaun's in the background.
What?
If you look at your background, there's a leprechaun in your background.
Oh, I can't see that on my phone. Okay.
Oh yeah, he's a little evil little bastard there.
Oh, that's him. That's him.
Yeah.
Okay, well, at least that stayed.
I was like, there he is.
Thank you.
I love this.
It's a short one.
It's funny. It's evil. It's got great rhyme, and it's to the point.
Just passing.
Very, very well done.
Passing.
Yeah, just, you know, good fatherly advice. Yeah. All right. Wayne, your thoughts on this one?
I said, you told your child of three that your worst nightmare. I can't wait to see what you tell her when she's 10. Lips have been known to do bad things to good people. And so I can understand your fear there because leprechauns aren't very nice. A lot of people think they're nice people. They're not. Leprechauns aren't nice people. Nice entities. They're evil. Great job this poem. Nice rhyme. I loved it.
Thank you, Wayne.
And Raconteur?
I think Hatter wrote this so he didn't have to watch his nephews anymore. I like this, you know, the leprechaun legend it seems like you want to play with them, but you know, not really, not when you hear what they're all about. So don't mess with the leprechauns. That's all I'm going to say. It's a good warning.
Oh, that's awesome. And Pretty Bird.
Okay, first, Wayne, the fact that, like, you're you have nicknames for them because they're leps. I don't think I've ever heard leprechauns shortened to leps. Like, you're just like, yeah, I know all about them critters. which I just absolutely adore. But I love a brevity that tells you a story, and this definitely absolutely does that, which isn't the easiest thing to do in so few words, especially when it's in rhyming couplets. So excellent. I love how misery loves company, and you scared yourself while telling your three-year-old, because that's fabulous. Because, you know, well, I remembered how scared I was as I'm already halfway through the story, but since I'm already in the middle of it, I got to let her finish anyway. You know, let me just get through this. And then, you know, you're left with your own thoughts, your own memories, your own fears, you know? Like I thought that I had vanquished him, and now I brought him right back to life, and now he's in my head. And you know what? We do it to ourselves. We do. We're like, we think we're over things, whether it is creepy things, heartbroken things, happy things. It doesn't matter. We're like, we have a memory and we think we're fine. And we get halfway through and go, oh no, what did I just do? But, you know, Pandora's box reopened. So I love that. I love that it's there. And when you know, you know, you know. So excellent, excellent, excellent.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Pretty. I put your poem on the board pretty.
Another one, and it's a sonnet. It's a vampire sonnet.
Well, then put that on the board. You know, I don't care what you read.
Well, don't be up.
You know, I can care less. As long as words come forth from your mouth and make me smile, which they always do, I will sit back and listen.
I wrote this a million years ago. I don't even know when I wrote it. But I love vampires, like I said before, because, you know, they are Prince Charming. They are defined by the same characteristics, which I just love the twisted truth of that. And so you know, it's just one of those things. This is not a I love vampires thing. I don't know what I wrote it for. I go, it was a Halloween Elizabethan sonnet contest, and sonnets are the bane of my existence, but this is what this is, supposedly-ish, whatever. It's an it's an iambic pentameter, so it counts. Okay, this is called Double Down, and it goes like this. The sun rose high above the beach that day. The piles of ash were found upon the sand with pickets driven deep where ashes lay. The beachgoers just couldn't understand why, if bonfires were still against the law, they had to clean the litter left behind. Until the homeless man said what he saw, the undead drunk on homeless drunkard wine. Intoxicated undead fell from flight en masse. They passed out strewn upon the beach. Not gambling on the sun to reach its heights, I drove a picket through the heart of each. It pays, he said, to have blood like a still, for vampires to be drunk enough to kill. And poem.
Oh, my God. That is awesome. Oh, my God. The undead drunk on a homeless drunkard's wine. That is just great. How drunk do you got to be to get the vampires dead enough to kill? Oh,
she blew a .4.
Oh, God. I don't know. I have an uncle like that. He might be able to do it. Oh, that's great.
One thought.
Oh, God. Hatter, what's your one thought?
My one thought, he's not a vampire. He's out on the beach during the day. Not a vampire. He's killed somebody.
No.
No, the homeless guy's on the beach during the day. The vampires are the ash.
The guy that killed him was the drunk guy that they tried to drink his blood, but he was so full of.
I think he's a vampire. Go get a steak. Sorry, I had it wrong.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Rack, your thoughts.
I'm just going to say you 5 words. You are what you eat.
Wayne, your thoughts.
Well, I'm a big dummy. I was reading another poem while she's reading that one. I was going, where's she at? But,
oh, sorry.
good sign. But anyway, the other one, the ghost too. The other one's a little grosser than this one is. But it's a nice poem. I just got there reading it. It's a good poem, and I wish I'd read it while Ronnie was reading along, but I didn't. So it's a good job with the poem, and I loved it.
Thank you.
That's why Wayne went for his beer.
So yeah, Wayne's out with his beer with the dead guy, or trying the guy trying to kill him. The other poem is really good too, though.
Oh yeah, it's really good.
If there's room at the end of the show, I'm happy to read it.
Yeah, we'll have time for you to read it. I gotta read my legend for Hatter, his favorite. So you'll have time. Right now, we are going to listen to Mr. Man, Mr. Green, my final recording by Gerald Green. Here we go.
The Touch, written and read by Gerald Green. She heard a rattle, buried in a gust of wind, and pulled her blanket tighter. Unsure of what had made that noise, she was no country fighter. Alone, inside her custom house, 6 bedrooms and 2 floors, she felt a fear she'd never known, in spite of sturdy doors. A bolt of lightning, followed by a thunderclap, and thud of distant tree caused her to gasp and hold her breath and taste an urge to flee. Her husband's wealth had seemed surreal that built this brand new house of 18 rooms of luxury. He seemed the perfect spouse. His business made him work long hours. He traveled frequently, and this week he had been gone 4 days. It seemed more often recently. The only comfort she could feel came from her fluffy pet, who cowered underneath her bed, away from any threat. She thought she heard a dripping noise inside her ensuite bath. She dared not move. She didn't dare expose herself to lightning's wrath. Instead, she reached her hand beneath her king-size bed to stroke the fur of her faithful dog, but felt a lick instead. The love conveyed by just a touch brought peace that let her sleep, without the aid of medicine or need for counting sheep. In morning's light she shivered as she moved her naked form into the spacious bathroom with a tub when filled would make her warm. At first she didn't notice, but a stench was in the air. And then she saw the blood-smeared wall that brought a frightful scare. Her fluffy pet was now a corpse that hung upon a clothing hook above a pool of doggy blood. She couldn't bear to look. Upon the wall she read a bloody phrase and knew not what to do, because it said in 4 bold words, "Humans can lick too."
Oh, that's one of my favorite legends, and thank you very much, sir, for writing to that, because it's as scary and gross as they get, but I hate the fact they killed the dog. This is the second week I've listened to a poem where they killed the dog. Oh, my God. They killed the dog. They killed the dog. They killed the dog. Oh, my goodness.
Because they know it hurts.
And they know it hurts me. It does hurt. It hurts me bad. Okay, so we got somebody on the radio. It is Mr. Little Gary. So,
Little Gary, the comic.
The comic, yes.
Yeah,
no,
I'm sorry. I was busy. I was killing a dog.
No. I'll not talk to you anymore.
I know. I'm kidding. I would never hurt a puppy of any kind.
All right.
For real. I do have 5 chickens and 2 cats, but I don't have a dog right now. But if I do, I won't.
Well, let me get.
I promise.
You're raising chickens.
Get,
let me get some comments for Mr. Green. Raconteur, what do you think of his poem?
Oh, yes. Humans can lick, too. That's a great legend. And I like the humor of it, the playfulness of the evil spirit. You know, I'm gonna take your pet's life and you know, tease you with the idea that, you know, well, he's not the one that licked you. So it's scary. But you know, just as a side note, you know, my warped brain. I sat there doing math half the poem. It's like, okay, wait a minute. It's an 18-room house. She's got 6 bedrooms. So what's the layout? I was distracted. I'm like, wait a minute. How many rooms are on the bottom floor? How many rooms are on the top? 18 rooms, but it's a 2-story house. Yeah. Anyway, that's my own warped brain. Not your fault, Gerald. But I love the poem.
Yeah, that is great. Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, there's something about the way he reads. His narrative is perfect. It's definitely a TV voice.
Yes.
The way he puts the stories together. It's very good. It's what on the list.
Yeah. And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
You know, there is something that is delightfully delicious about the line and taste and urge to flee. My mind stuck to that. I mean, that was early on, but that is just beautiful because, you know, you feel it in your heart. You get all tachycardic, all the hairs stand up on your back of your legs, back of your neck. Well, maybe your legs too, who knows? And all of these things. But when you give it a flavor, it's rancid and almost metallic and well, to me anyway, that's what it conjures, and that makes it that much more poignant. And I love that line. Having said that, when I read it in your description, sweet, I was just like, no. I'm like, first of all, not the dog, and second of all. This is a girl. Now, my husband used to travel all the time. He was gone more than 6 months out of the year, you know, more than half of every week. For years and years and years, I was home with the kids. And, you know, yes, very annoying, not okay. But anyway, so there she is. We're assuming alone in this house with her dog for, you know, all this time. And all I can think is, we don't know when he got there. We don't know if he's still there. We don't know if this is the end of the story or the beginning of the story. And nobody says she runs the fuck out of the house. Oh, I said the F word. We're allowed one in the show. It's a PG-13, so my bad. And that is where the creep factor lies for me. It's all of the unknowns. It's where does your mind take you? Is this the end of the story? Why, no, my dear. For me, it is, you need to get the heck out of Dodge. Is he still under the bed? Is he in the closet? Is he blocking your way out of there? Are you going to die like your dog? Like, what the heck is going on? And so I love that the words finish and then the scenario plays on because it takes a powerful piece to be able to implant the seeds that then grow the thoughts. And so, fabulous.
White space.
Yes. Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, I think she ought to be grateful that humans don't bite because she could have had her hand bit off. this is a lovely...
Oh, my God.
And that's another lovely rendition of the old nightmare. I wonder what the mutt did.
I am biting my tongue.
I know. You and me both.
I don't know what the mutt did to get mutilated like that. It's always a good point when there's a couple mutilated.
You're funny. Yes, you're funny.
Good job, there.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's awesome.
What are your thoughts?
A licking demon.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You got to be able to know.
My brain can't take it, sweet.
Hey, yo, calm yourself. Calm yourself, my girl, calm. Okay,
I think if a dog licked my hand or you licked my hand, I would be able to tell the difference.
I'm sure you would. Half asleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know.
It's funny because if it was a cat, she definitely would have known the difference because cats have that scratchy tongue. But the dogs tend to do that with the tongue. They just, you know, the idly
flat and slobbery.
beach blanket tongues.
Oh my goodness!
Sand everywhere.
Spit everywhere. Or blood.
You know, Hatter, I'm just going to say I think you have no idea how fabulous you are, and I just love you.
Yep, me too.
Pretty bird.
Yep.
Pretty bird.
Stop.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. What?
Little Gary?
Yeah.
Mr.
The other Mr. I haven't.
Ma'am. That's me. I'm sorry. I
wasn't going to call him
Mr.
Little.
Again.
Oh, good job. Will you stop it?
I beat it good this time. You were
well
sick.
Good.
Shut up.
Hey, where you been, little Gary?
Man, where have I been? Man, I've been to Vegas. I competed. I entered a contest. It was the top 100 out of America and Canada. It's called the World Series of Comedy that went down in Vegas a couple of weeks ago. And
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Yes, I paid the $100 and sent them a video of my dumb butt. And anyway, I made it in the top 100. I was there was only three from Texas. And but I went down there and I ended up getting 11th. So if anybody's looking for the 11th funniest person in America and Canada, I'm your man.
Oh my God, that's so
11th,
exciting.
A lucky number.
Yeah, it was tough. It was really tough because I had to go to like these classes from ten in the morning to like 3 o'clock. And then I had to go back to my hotel room and then be ready to go on stage at midnight. And if midnight's way past my bedtime, so I had to try to be all fluffy and ready at midnight, which was really hard. Drinking was
fluffy.
No. And they're like Colorado, so any of that, it was no. So everything I had, I almost bought an energy drink. But anyway, I ended up with 11.
That is, congratulations to you. That's quite the accomplishment, sir. Congratulations.
Oh, yes, yes, ma'am. Hey, I was number one in Texas, though. I beat out big Houston and Dallas. They had me from Rusk. I'm from Ponte. It's even smaller than Rusk.
Oh, my God. They couldn't even get that right. Wow. That's amazing. Oh, my. Well, I'm very impressed. Wow.
Hush your
and
mouth.
Here you
it's
are
just bullshit.
Calling my little old show. Oh, God. Now I'm going to spank you like you spanked your dog.
I know it. I couldn't record it. I wanted to record it to put on my YouTube, but they own the rights to the voice and the visual. It's supposed to be on some TV in December, but they may be mad at me because my last day after I was out of the competition, I decided I wanted to go see Vegas, so I didn't show up for the classes.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, it stays in Vegas. Yeah.
You graduated.
Yeah, I'm afraid to death for somebody to put something smart in the things that I do. It might screw me up.
All right, put your poem on the board.
I thought I did. Do you see one there on the deal?
Oh, let me check the board.
I'm refreshing. Let's see.
It's called Stay, if you see it.
I do not see it.
Okay, I'm going to try again because I never quit. Ask any girl that I know. They'll say, he loves me until I don't love him no more all the way.
Even if she's yawning.
Yeah, she's yawning for sure. Don't get me into that. That's
a
different show.
Right?
All I said is even
if she's yawning.
Yeah, he takes that as a
no,
target.
Not show, poem.
Yeah, let me think. It's a...
Make sure
gosh, I wish somebody would. Let's see.
If she wants, it's a commentary. It's an opportunity.
Yeah, that's what it is.
OMG.
Next week. a team of voice. I'm trying, okay, here we go again. I'm going to try again. The group messages. Here we go. And this is normal for me to screw up and everybody waiting on me asking
there
anybody.
You go.
I hope you can see it now.
I got it.
That. Cool. I'm glad y'all are here, man. I was feeling really lonely tonight. And to hear y'all's voices and y'all are like friends to me, it feels good. My house doesn't echo as much. Thank y'all so much.
You're welcome. I know that feeling. Go ahead. Read away.
Okay, all right. Well, here's a good one for me. Little Gary, it's called Stay. I stay low, so I always stay high. I stay in love, even though I know it's going to end in goodbye, making me stay in shades when I cry, until I'm wondering if they never stayed and why in the hell do I stay and try. I stay broke, so I have to be able to bend. My heart stays torn, so it has to stay on the mend. I stay creative, so my pocket's always holding a pen. Down here in East Texas, where I always stay looking for some shade and some wind. While I'm staying so real that I don't have to pretend. I don't know what that sound is, but.
Yeah, what is that?
It's really effing me up a little bit. Hey, I'll just keep pushing through, even though I didn't screw up the flow.
No, go ahead. You're good. Go ahead.
Okay.
Put everybody else on mute.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
I got it.
I stay broke. I'll just start there. So I have to be able to bend. My heart stays torn, so it has to stay on the mend. I stay creative, so my pocket's always holding a pen. Down here in East Texas, where I always stay looking for some shade and some wind, while I'm staying so real that I don't have to pretend. I stay optimistic, even though I never had any luck. I stay in the country, so mud always stays on the side of my truck, while my life stays in a drought, just like my half-empty-ass cup, making me stay down while I stay dreaming of up. I stay safe because I'm a scrappy Leo with two fists and a gun. I stay respectful while people keep giving me none, trying to stay happy although I never have any fun. But if I stay in last place while everyone else stays in the position called one, y'all better know that I'll have plenty of reasons to stay writing so you can stay reading until I drop my pen on the paper with a wink because I'm done. End point.
Oh, that was beautiful. Just absolutely stunning and lovely and heroic. And I love your rhyme, as always. You have such a beautiful rhyme. And the story is great. I'm staying real so that I don't have to pretend. I stay in the country so mud always stays on the side of my truck. Make me stay down while I'm dreaming up. I love that line, by the way. And I love the last line. Read until I drop my pen on the paper with a wink because I'm done. You always have such great poetry, and you always have such unique ways of saying that, making me stay in the shades when I cry, until I'm wondering if they never stay, then why in the hell do I stay and try? You have such a precision for timing and in the way you read and the way you come off with things. You really do have a performance way of reading and speaking. And I'm glad you called. I'm glad you were able to read. And hopefully you have more time to come back and read on my show, because I always love to hear from you. So let me get you some other comments. We will start with Mr. Hatter. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, you've got another narrative voice that you if I was to read it, the cadence would be right, would be totally wrong. But you read it, it flows. I don't know what that is, but it's noticeable and it's very good. You need to read the Do Drop In, a Charlie Daniels song.
I will. I've never read it.
Cool.
And Wayne, your thoughts.
I killed him.
might have. Yeah, Wayne went to bed. Rack, your thoughts.
Yeah, I have to apologize. That was my phone trying to tell me I'm dying. So that was my interference. Sorry, I didn't catch most of it. But you know, again, I like the way you do your stuff, Gary. You know, you definitely have an eye for the production of what you're doing. It's not just the content of what you're saying, and there's a lot of emotion behind it too. So you know, I could say you do that very well.
Thank you so much, and believe me, it is a lot of emotion, and like a lot of people that write behind, more than you would know, you know, behind it is everything, you know?
Yep. Well done.
Thank
and
you,
Pretty
well
Bird,
said.
Your thoughts.
I have a soft place for spoken word poetry, which is what I would classify this as, and so it has to flow the way you read it. It's not going to sound right if somebody else reads it. They won't have that same urgency, that same feeling of it stacking on and on and on with every line that you read, where it starts off harsh and you're still holding on to hope, and it just, you know, gets stacked on your shoulders over and over and over until the end is all like, you know, it's all going to feed the good things because that's the way I roll. And excellent way to think, first of all, and B, that is a lot of strength to even pretend to smile through that much pain. And so I love that, especially the opening line of your first two stanzas. You know, I stay low, so I always stay high. So I always stay high, very clever, and I stay broke, so I have to be able to bend. And then that one, my heart stays torn, so it has to stay on the mend. You know, you can only bend till you break, but you're already broken. So you know, you gotta give where you can give. You know, and it's very relatable. And I love spoken word poetry. And not all spoken word poetry makes you feel something, but this one does. And it's half your words and half that sense of urgency that you tend to speed up with, and the way you read it where it just feels heavier. So very enjoyable. I mean, it's heartbreaking, but still very enjoyable.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm undefeated in spoken poetry, poetry slams, where it started up in Dallas. I went up there with my two good friends, and because everybody told me that, said, man, you're spoken poetry, you need to do it. And I found the place, and we went up there, and man, I ended up winning first place. And it was amazing how nobody wanted to talk to me at first. And I kept telling my friends, we go out on like a cigarette smoke break. I told them, I said, don't worry, y'all. I said, it's like Rocky whenever he was fighting that Russian. And everybody hated him at first. But then by the end, they were like, Rocky, Rocky. And it was amazing to do what we did there. And, yes, ma'am, you're right on point with that. And thank you for understanding, you know, because you hope that what you write is relatable. Anyway, it's what I do. You don't feel as alone and things and stuff. And I've got a new one that I can't wait to put on there that's going to be really good, and I think you'll like it too. And I'm going to put it on All Poetry pretty soon. It's What Else Can I Say? And but anyway, thank you so much, man. You made me feel good on a dark feeling night, to be honest.
Hey, Gary.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Gary.
Yes, sir.
Gary. I don't
yes,
know if
sir.
You remember, but the last time we had spoken, you were going to do a comedy show with me, and then you sort of disappeared. I didn't hear from you. So you have
yes,
to,
sir.
You have to show some of your...
I know. It's so unfortunate. My girlfriend of 6 years, she stopped my radio show with jealousy and stopped a lot of things with jealousy, but I was in love, and so when you're in love...
Totally understand. Totally understand.
You know,
nah,
you ever been in love,
back.
You know, so... I tried to stop everything to show her that she was important, but it didn't work. And she's been gone for a week now. And so anyway, it doesn't matter.
Did she lick your hand?
She supported me. She left me right after we got back from Vegas. I guess if I would have made the top 10.
Oh, this is...
No, I don't even think about that, man. 11 is amazing.
That's why we turned it up to 11.
It's been hard on me. She broke in my house and stole a lot of my personal things to hurt me. And so it's been tough. Like anybody, you know, I ain't alone. Everybody's got fucked up, I mean, messed up stuff. And but, yeah, I'm hoping this is my first night to feel like calling. And I'm so glad to be here and share my writing with people. And thank y'all so much. Y'all just don't know.
Well, unfortunately, you called at the end of the show. So, you know, next time call at the beginning. So we're actually going to go ahead and say goodnight.
Yes, ma'am. Hey, that's good. That's good. I got my covers ready, and I might let the cat
all
in.
Right.
She left her cats and chickens, but she didn't tell me where the chicken food was, so I'm feeding them cat food. If anybody knows, that'll kill them. Then that'll be good
I
for the
think
next
it'll kill them.
No,
the chickens
will be
shredded.
Okay.
Cat food.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody.
Y'all be safe.
All right. Thank you guys for coming. Tonight was great. I loved all the poems. They were amazing. Everybody was amazing that came tonight. Pretty Bird, thank you forever again for your help. I can't do this without you. I can't do this without Rack. I can't do it without Hatter or Wayne or I almost called her Beth, but I meant Deb. Beth is my friend, doesn't even come to these things, but I have her on my mind. Everybody that wrote for me is absolutely amazing. Thank you, Mr. Green, for writing about the dog, because that cracked me up. Heavenly Angel for my beautiful Barnabas, that was a great poem, too. You guys just wrote for this, and I cannot imagine having a better show, actually. You guys were rocking it. Let me see. I'm trying to think. Thinking is not always good for me this late at night. It hurts. Sky, obviously. I loved her lessons. Lockdown Lars, his poem was great. Gerald, again, the dog. Heavenly Angel, Wayne, and Phil, the fact you love the Banshee, I got to tell you, I can't even get over that beautiful love poem to the Banshee. I put it on my favorites list. It just rocked. So I hope everybody has fun with their legends as we go deeper into the spooky, the blessings of Halloween season. And maybe I'll stop slurring my words because I haven't had anything to drink. So that's scary enough. Everybody take care of themselves. Have a wonderful night. And I will talk to you guys soon.
Hey, little Gary. Feed your chickens cornbread so that it's restuffed. Good night.
Yes, sir.
Lord. Good night, everybody. Have a great night. Thank you,
ma'am.
Fever.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, sweet.